The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jairus was his name. A ruler of the synagogue he was, meaning his entire life was about tending the law of God. Day after day, week after week, the law was in his head and in his heart. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength," Jairus, like all good Jews, uttered continually. But it wasn't working. Death stalked him. The worst kind of death, actually. Not his own, but that of his child. A parent's worst nightmare was unfolding right before his eyes, and there was nothing he could do about it. And the law he obeyed meticulously had no answers other than to accuse. After all, people get what they deserve, so look around at all the lawbreakers. Look at your reflection staring back at you, and know that all the sin and death in the world is your fault, ultimately. So what do you expect? Of course she's dying. The greatest prosecutor of all time, Satan, chided, using of all things God's law. Sin, death, and the accusing devil raged around Jairus, and the law was the weapon of choice used against him. She remains nameless, but an outcast, unclean according to the law she was. 12 years she had endured a perpetual menstrual cycle. Of course, she did what all sick people who are smart do, seek professional medical help, consult the experts, follow their treatment plan, and trust your well-being to their care. But it wasn't working. Death was stalking her still. She was still bleeding, and now she was broke. God's law had no answers other than to accuse and to threaten her with stoning if she dared go to town. After all, people get what they deserve. So look around at all the lawbreakers. Look at your reflection staring back at you. And know that all the sin and death in the world is your fault. So what do you expect? Satan chided her too. Sin, death, and the accusing devil raged around her. And the weapon of choice? Common sense, collective wisdom, also known as God's law. Truly, Jairus and the nameless woman were at the end of their rope. Their obedience, their common sense, their doing all the right things counted for exactly nothing. The enemies that stood against them, sin, death, and the devil, were winning. Oh, but word on the street, there was this guy who could make people whole. Jairus and the nameless woman had heard that with him, people didn't get what they deserved, but mercy instead. This guy, he wasn't waiting for people to get their act together or make themselves worthy of his attention. The fact that people trusted in just about everything but him didn't stop his care. Nor did the fact that people's motives for seeking him out were all over the place. He didn't care that he was the last resort rather than the first choice. His only concern was saving people, saving them from sin, death, and the devil. The man's name was Jesus, and his word of mercy, grace, forgiveness, and salvation that Jairus and the woman heard made trust in them. Why else would a man who knew that God is one prostrate himself before a mere man if he didn't trust the man was God? Why else would a woman risk the consequences of breaking God's law if she didn't trust the man she sought was God? On full display was the faith made in these two people by hearing that Jesus was for them. And faith in Jesus, trust in Christ, makes a bold person. When God's word makes faith in a person, they'll boldly make their sin and death and the devil God's problem. Here you go, God. Their sinfulness and lawlessness and unworthiness and all the rest be damned. They'll walk right up and demand Jesus act on his word of undeserved mercy and grace instead of the deserved justice and condemnation. Well, you know by now there's no such thing as a spectator when it comes to Jesus. He lets no one sit on the sidelines to watch and remain above the fray. Instead, he draws everybody into his work. And so it's your turn now. Every one of us here is suffering for our sin and the sin of others. Every one of us is dying. Every one of us is justly accused for what we've done and left undone. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ is for you. Knowing full well who you are and what you've done and left undone, he has still chosen to be your Savior. Believe me, you haven't taken him by surprise. He hasn't waited for you to get your act together or earn his grace. He simply decided. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for Christ's sake. That is your promise from Jesus Christ. And so as sin, death, and the devil attack you, you boldly remind Christ of his promise. March yourself right back there to that font, and you remind Christ of his promise to never leave you or forsake you. Stick your face in it. Blow bubbles. I don't care if that's what you want to do. March yourself right up here to this altar as unworthy as you are and always will be. You stick your hand out, open your mouth for the forgiveness that you don't deserve. And if you feel like you're getting away with something, you are. Enjoy. You hoist Christ on his word that has saved you, and you fear not. Jesus Christ does not lie. He's for you. Amen.